record, Luke writing, when the hour had came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table, and the Son of Man will go out as been decreed. But woe to that man who betrays him. And they began to question among themselves as to which one of them it would be who would do this. Also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us. And Lord, we pray that through your word this morning, you would speak to us and prepare us again to commune and to meet with you at your table of fellowship and your table of grace. We thank you that you have prepared your table before us and you have called us before to dine with you in that place of intimacy, in that place of communion, that you, with our good shepherd, lead and direct us, and you love us so much that you laid yourself down for us, your sheep, that we can have that relationship with you and feed on you by faith. So, Lord, refresh us this morning in our hearts and in our spirits as we meet with you today, as we share around your table in worship, thanksgiving, and praise. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin a new year, and a new year is always those times when everybody makes those long list of resolutions, you know, like today, this year, I'm going to lose 50 pounds. Yeah, right. Or this year, I'm going to control my temper. Or this year, we make a long list of things that we resolve that we're going to do. And usually by the end of week one, that diet doesn't materialize. And things don't seem to change. But a new year is always a time for us to take a new look, to pause and reflect back on the past years and the past year, and to look ahead and what may be ahead for us in the future, and to set maybe some goals and direction for our life. And it's always a time for us to take some inventory and a new look at our life and God's faithfulness and blessings to it. Communion is a time for us to do that. A time for us to pause again and to reflect and to take a new look at where we are in our relationship and commitment to Christ. It causes us to put on the pause in our life, to reflect for a moment, to stop and look back and remember what Christ has done as we look ahead to the future and the blessings that he has for us in store. Sometimes we just need, especially after coming through Christmas and all the business of Christmas, isn't it good sometimes to hit the pause button? You know, it's a, okay, let's pause a little bit. Communion's a time for us to do that, to hit the pause button, to take a new look at our life or spiritual inventory, and to see where we are, reflect on God's blessings, and thank him for the goodness. The Lord's table is based on that time when the Lord would get together, when the Lord had commanded the Passover to be celebrated with Israel, a time when God had brought them out of their slavery. And there's 400 years of bondage, and he brought them redemption through the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, a foreshadow of Jesus, his own blood shed for us that would bring redemption from our sin. And Israel was commanded once a year to pause and to reflect back on that Passover, a time God passed over them in judgment and spared them and set them free. And they were to pause and to reflect on that. And it was at that celebration that Jesus, knowing that he was soon going to be going to the cross in a few hours, gave that celebration a new meaning. And he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of thanksgiving. But now it's the cup of thanksgiving for my blood shed for you. And as often as you do this, I want you to remember me in it. And he took the bread, a symbol that was unleavened, without sin, He said, this is my body that is going to be broken in a few hours for you. And reflect on that. Take a look. And as he held it up, I'm sure they could see it. And he said, this it is. Look at this and reflect on it. And the communion is a time for us to take a look again at ourselves and at Christ. A new look in five different ways. It's a time for us to look backward to the cross. Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And he took the cup and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant. Thank the Lord for that, because the old covenant was a covenant of law. And they had lived under the law and in the burden of the law and in the bondage of the law and the enslavement of the law. But he said, this is a new covenant, a covenant of grace. And isn't it wonderful to live under the grace of God? To know that his blood has redeemed us and paid the price for our sin. And to reflect on that. On his love, on the reminder of his love. And when we hold the bread and the cup in a few moments and we partake, this is a reminder of how much God loves you. He loves you so much that it's been said, I love you this much, he said, and he put out his arms and he died for you and me. Nothing we ever could have done could have repaid it, but he, for all the ugliness in our life and all the sin, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So reflect, look back to the cross with thanksgiving that he could have called, if he wanted to, 10,000 angels to take him down. He could have said, they don't deserve this. But he said, Father, forgive. And he willingly gave himself up. Body broken, his blood shed. Looking back in remembrance and in gratitude for his love and for his grace that he has freely bestowed upon us. Jesus said, as often as you do this, he took, gave the thanks, and he took the cup and said, this is my blood poured out for you. And as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Looking back to the cross of what Jesus did. But also, we look inward at our heart. Communion calls us to look inward as well, at our heart and our relationship with Christ, and to pause and to take that spiritual inventory, not only remembrance, but inward. Notice, as they had this meal together, Jesus began in verse 21, Luke records, and he said, this cup is a new covenant of my blood, but the hand of him who was going to betray me is at mine at the table. And he said, the Son of Man will go out as decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. And verse 23 says, they began to question among themselves who it would be, who would do this. In fact, Matthew records, they began to ask, is it I? Is it me? Who is it? And they began to question among themselves who would be sitting at the table with Jesus and have this meal and then later betray him. Who would do that? But yet, and it caused them to look within. And the Lord's table causes us to take a look within ourselves as well to see if we are right in our relationship with God before we consume. Let's look together at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth who had several issues. They had several problems there. They had sin and immorality in their church. They had divisions. They had a lot of factions, a lot of fighting. He was writing to them to correct a lot of those issues. But they also had a misunderstanding of the Lord's table, and they were coming to the Lord's table in a way that was not in the right mindset at all. It was a custom to have the Lord's table in typical EC church style, to have a meal. You know, we love to eat. We haven't been able to do it for a long time since COVID, but eating in church was a customary thing goes all the way back, and they would have a meal together. And their custom was they would have a dinner and then they would have communion. But in their meal, they were gorging. Some of them were gorging themselves and some of them were not caring about others at all. And they were going into the Lord's table without the proper mindset. So Paul was addressing that in verse 27. He says, therefore, whoever eats of the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats or drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And he says, you know, it's a time for us to look within at our heart. They began to question among themselves, the disciples, who would betray Jesus? It's a time for us, before we partake together, to pause. Lord, am I right with you? Is there anything in my heart that I need to deal with? Is there anything that I'm not right with between me or somebody else? Before I consume together, before I partake of your table, I need to be right with you. Father, restore to me the joy of my salvation. It's a time for spiritual inventory and to reflect, a self-examination of where we are with Jesus. That's why it's so good to begin this even this way at the beginning of a year, to reflect on where we are, looking inward on our own heart, and also looking outward to others. Verse 24 to 30, Luke records that also a dispute while they were sitting having this last meal with the Lord. Now get this, get what was going on here in this room. We have a good picture, and sometimes we're so far removed we don't get really what was happening. But Jesus laying out before him that he was going to be gone to the cross and giving his life in a few hours. The disciples are arguing amongst themselves while they're sitting at the table who the greatest among them were. Get that. Jesus is ready to give himself for them, and they're arguing over who the greatest one was amongst the 12 that were in the room. And they were concerned about themselves, and a dispute broke among them as to who was considered to be the greatest. And Jesus said, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those who exercise authority call themselves benefactors, but you're not to be like that. The greatest is to be the one who serves. Then he said, who is the one who's greatest? The one who's at the table or the one who serves? And he said, is it not the one who's at the table? But Jesus said, I'm one among you who serves. And he called them to look outward to each other instead of to themselves. And the Lord's table was again calls us to look outward to one another, because we partake of the table together, not individually. Yes, individually, but we are a part of the church, of the family. We share this meal together as one. And we celebrate our unity in Jesus, that we are bound together. It's by his body and blood broken and shed for all of us that we become members of his family together. And we share in this meal, expressing our love and concern for each other. And so, not only we need to make sure we're right with God, but we need to make sure we're right with each other as well. And concern and caring for each other. And it's a call to look around at those within us and within the church family. It's also a call for us to look upward to the Lord. The Lord's Supper, we take that look upward to him because it says, Jesus said, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, verse 15. Jesus said, I want to share this meal of fellowship with you, and I want you to be reminded of my presence with you. And we look upward to the Lord, and the Lord's table reminds us to look up to him, not only to the cross, but up to him, because he is our source of strength. His presence is with us. As we partake together, we know that he is present with us in spirit. And his presence is with us and his power is in us, giving us that power that we need as we live for him. and as we go into the new year. And whatever lies before us in this new year, we know that we don't go in alone because our Savior is already there. His presence is with us and his power is in us to guide us. So look up to him. He is right here with us now and always will be. He never forsakes or leaves his own. And we look forward as well to our home. Look at verse 16 through 18. Jesus said, I desire to share this time of fellowship, communion with you, my presence. But he said, I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And he said, for I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Paul, in sharing that with the church of Corinth, said, for as often as we eat and drink of the body and blood of the Lord, we do so until we proclaim his death until he comes again. And so as we partake of the bread and the cup, we look forward to the day that we're going to sit around his table in heaven, that we're going to sit around the great banquet feast with him and his presence and his glory, not separated anymore, but with all of the brothers and sisters in Christ, all those who are already there, and we'll sit down at that table forever in his presence. Won't that be a great celebration? And we look forward to that as well. And that's part of what we share in this celebration. We rejoice in it. If that is assured, Jesus says, I will not do this again until that day. And it's a promise that we will sit down. We will have a home that he has prepared because of his death for us. And that we will share in his presence for all eternity. What a glorious day that will be. Until then, we are faithful. So look back at the cross, inward at our heart, outward at others, upward to the Lord, and forward to our home. And that's what communion means as we come before him this morning, as we partake together at his invitation to come, remember, and to celebrate and rejoice in his goodness and his grace. Where would we be without the grace of God? Without what he has done for us, we would be lost and hopeless. But we come with thanksgiving before him this morning in celebration. And as we prepare to meet our Lord at his table, as we do on Communion Sundays, let's pause together for a prayer of confession and consecration. Let's pray together. As we bow before the Lord in our hearts and our heads bowed before him, before his greatness, before his glory. He is a holy God. We call this holy communion. And he wants his bride to be holy as we come before him and partake. If there's anything in your heart this morning, as you look inward at your heart, that needs to be made and dealt with, made right before him, take this moment to prepare your heart to meet our Lord and receive from him this morning. Take a look inward at your relationship with Christ. And is there something that needs to be dealt with? Take this moment to do it. Father, we thank you for your great love that we celebrate this morning at your table of grace. That you provided for us your body, your blood, broken and shed and bruised beyond recognition because you loved us so much. And that your grace would be bestowed upon us so freely. Your grace that we don't deserve, but your blood that washes away and made the payment for all of our sin, that now through the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, without defect, without any sin, you pass over us in judgment and you set us free. And we thank you for that. And so, Father, we praise you for what you've done through Jesus as we look back to the cross. As we look within, Lord, we thank you that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and just, and you forgive us of all unrighteousness. And in that we rejoice. As we look around, Lord, we see that we are part of your church family. We share in this meal together as one. In our expression of our faith and our unity and our love for one another, not only locally, but part of your body around the world. And Father, you've called us to serve each other. And Father, as we look up to you and we see your presence with us always, now and forever. And Lord, knowing that we're not alone, we don't face this year ahead on our own, but you are with us every step of the way. For we know who holds tomorrow, and it's in your hands. And Lord, as we look forward, we see a beautiful future ahead, a beautiful home that you have promised and provided for us, that someday we will enjoy together with you. So Lord, we thank you for what this table means to us as a time to celebrate and rejoice in you. We thank you for the bread, a visible reminder of your body broken for us. We consecrate it to you. We thank you for the cup, a visible reminder of your blood shed for the forgiveness of our sin. We thank you for it and we consecrate it to you. And as we partake now, Lord, we pray that you would meet with us in a special way as we feast on you by faith, and may we sense your presence anew and afresh in our heart as we commit to you again. And we ask this prayer through Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.